And here we go. We're off and running Thursday, February the 6th, 2020, or February, however you want to pronounce that. 15 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned in on a great morning. Now, let me tell you about something that happened. Oh, what's it been now? If this is February the 6th, I guess it's been about 37 days ago that this happened. New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, 2020, or is it New Year's Eve 2019? I'm not sure how they say that. But as we were going into the new year last year, we did a New Year's Eve program live here at this station. And on that night, we had as a guest legendary comedian Shecky Green. And for people who heard that show, they had the best New Year's they've had in possibly their life. Shecky was so funny, so hilarious. People in the studio were laughing. Engineers were laughing. I was laughing on the air uncontrollably. And I heard from people who were listening at home that they were laughing uncontrollably. Every time he's on the show, he makes us laugh. And really, in these times that we are in, laughter is one of the most important things. He comes on anytime I ask him, and I appreciate that more than he will ever know, especially since there is a 3-hour time difference and these programs are not taped. It is actually just after 6 a.m. where he is, and I think we just woke him up. But withstanding all that, the man who I call one of the greatest talk show guests and the funniest man alive, brace yourself, grab a hold of something wherever you are, and tear the knob off the radio. You won't want to go anywhere for the next 45 minutes because we don't know where we're going to go, and sometimes I don't know if he does either. Here is the legendary Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Can I tell you, you gave the weather report. I got up and I went put on a jet jacket.
It's a little cold here in the Midwest, Shecky.
Oh, my God. I miss it, though. Can I tell you something? I'm a guy with four seasons. You know, I moved to California when I was signed with NBC years ago. And then I've been out here in Vegas and stuff like that. But I really miss it. I miss four seasons. I miss yelling at people that I'm cold. You know, why did we go here? You know, I didn't put on the right clothes.
Now, how many years have you been out in Las Vegas now?
I first came to Vegas in 1954.
Now, so it's been a while, about a half century.
Yeah, I got married in Reno, and I was signed to go to Vegas, and I canceled it out. And I didn't even know that I got married, and I didn't even know my wife's, you know, second name. And then when I found out her second name, I didn't want to know her first name. But we had a wonderful marriage. She came here to find her ex-boyfriend. I've had some wonderful luck.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Shecky, it's kind of interesting because here we are close to the Valentine's Day holiday. What advice would you have to somebody on Valentine's Day?
Oh, that's I'd love to pick out cards for my kids on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day always was a good day for me. You know, you send a card to somebody you love and they send it back.
Now, when you were in school, Shecky, was Valentine's Day celebrated much?
I guess so. You know what? It's so long ago. You know, I'm going to be 94 years old. Just even saying it. So my memory is not exactly the best.
What's it?
Right now, I'm thinking hour to hour. You know, people make plans. You know, next summer we'll go here. I go from hour to hour.
We've kind of thrown out the whole idea of long-term planning at this point.
But it's Valentine's Day. Again, I'm married to a very wonderful lady, and we exchange Valentine's cards, and we kiss on that day. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's nice.
We wait all year to kiss on Valentine's Day.
What? One? You don't kiss under the mistletoe at Christmas time?
No, not under the mistletoe. No. No, I'm Jewish. We eat the mistletoe. When I walk under it, I just pull it down, put some cream on there and sugar.
Well, you know, Shecky, you mentioned it there. You're about under 2 months now from the big 9-4. How does that feel?
Oh, my God. You know, it's frightening. It really is frightening. I'm in a lot of pain. I got a bad hip, you know, and they want to operate in March. And my heart doctor says he don't know, you know. Go to figure, I'm in pain and my heart doctor doesn't know. They should operate on him.
Now you have said before on this program that you do not have the best luck when it comes to doctors.
Oh, could I tell you something? They're unbelievable. You walk in and you see thousands of pamphlets, and not where they have records of people. Thousands of records lined up, and each one of those people would now get about 10 minutes with a doctor. The doctors wear gym shoes. That they run from office to office. It's like, okay, I'll be right back. Well, what do we talk about, doctor? Because what about a pill? No, I'll be right back. I'll open the drawer and take what you want.
Well, Shecky, now this is something you would only have perspective on. When you're nearly 94 years old and you go to the doctor's office and you're in the room waiting for the doctor to come in, how does that conversation go when you're talking about your hip and you're 94? How does he treat you?
Well, you know, it's a very strange thing. I really don't have the kind of respect that I had. I remember when I was a little kid, the doctor used to come to the house, you know? And the doctors would have a cup of coffee and come to the house and everything. And that memory goes back to those days. So the people today don't really, you know, ever get the kind of attention that we got when we were young. You know, and now I guess it was because of the traveling and everything else. But now it's you wait in line. I mean, you wait in the office. And as I said, they yell, next. 12 people get up because everybody's next. They don't know anybody's name. You know?
No, they're not very personal at the doctor anymore.
No, not anymore. Nothing, you know. And I go to a doctor that tells me his problem.
So the doctor tells you his problems.
I said, you know, I got a bad hip, doc. He said, you talk about a hip. I'll tell you about a leg. I got a leg. Yeah, but
where do you find these doctors, Shecky? Can you transfer?
In Vegas, are you kidding? We're very lucky. I've been here. I remember when I came, there was about 12 doctors when I first originally came in. And now it's jammed. You can't get in to see a doctor, you know. We got broken bones and everything. The doctor says, that's February. I'll see you next February 23rd, 2021. Could you see me a little before that, doctor?
So, at this point, just to keep track, because we've talked about this before, your orthopedic doctor wants you to have surgery on your hip.
Yes.
But your heart doctor says that cannot happen.
Well, they can, I don't think they can operate with. But 94, you know, it's. I'll just buy myself a parrot and a patch, and that'll be it for me. Hi there. Yes, I got a bad hip.
Oh, well, that's, you know, it's...
My hip tells me no, no, but the doctor says, oh, yeah, he wants to make money. Okay.
Well, now, this is an interesting thing. How are you getting around? Are you still making it to the grocery store? Are you still driving?
Yeah, well, I'm still driving, you know, but I use a walker when I used to look at people and I felt so sorry, and now I got a walker.
Now,
they said to me, get a walker. I thought it was that I had to hire some guy, you know. But this is... And in Vegas here, can I tell you something? When I go into one of the hotels, everybody's with a walker. They're with crutches. You know, it's a very healthy group over here.
Well, what has happened to the people out in Vegas?
At the town, it got so crowded. I loved this town when I first got, but it got so crowded, it's ridiculous. You can't drive, and now they're bringing in the football team. That's going to cause a lot of trouble. And the football team, I give them one season before the guys start drinking and gambling, you know? the guy will call out the signals, 47, 8-5, 7-2. That's going to be the signals.
Now, are you still doing much gambling, Shecky?
I go over to the race book because that's right across the street from me. And I'm still hooked on the horses. And I got a lot of, well, you could say a lot of friends. There's not too many left, you know. And the people I just go sit with, the guy, I go, who are you betting? I say, hey, I tell you, I like number four. And then maybe they put an exact of the four. That's the kind of people I'm with now. I'm like with Walter Brennan. Hey, I'm going to tell you that. Oh, God, can I tell you something? Whoever thought I'd lived at 94, I would have saved my money.
Well, you know, we had talked about living to 94 and the perils that come along with it, and we've kind of been with you for the last few years here, Shecky, and we learned that last year your brother had passed away and your dog
yes.
had passed away. Are there any bright spots in 2020 yet?
Well, my two brothers passed away.
Oh, two last year.
Well, not last year, but two brothers that passed away. I'm so glad my mother didn't have another. I couldn't take that.
It's tough to lose a family member.
Oh yeah, it really is. Because my memory keeps on going back. I have a very good memory, and it keeps on going back to my youth. Because I still even remember songs from when I was a baby.
Now, what were people singing back in the 20s?
Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Hello. Because you didn't have a guy playing a Como or Ben Crosby singing those songs. But that's the great thing about my life. I work with Perry Como. I work with Bing Crosby. You imagine working with those kind of people? It's a wonderful, wonderful memory.
Who were the people that you really, really liked working with?
Oh God, there's so many, and I you know that's kind of ridiculous to even think about that, because there was everybody.
Now people,
I enjoyed the people that I worked with. I didn't enjoy show business as much as I enjoyed the people around it.
Now, people said Bing Crosby could be a little difficult. How did you find him?
No, that was one of the best. I loved him. From the bottom of my heart, I loved Bing Crosby. You know, as you have a man, when you say to him, let's go to dinner, and he says, ba-ba-ba-ba-boo-boo-boo, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo-boo. My God. And then you have to have that translated. He'd go to his brother Everett and say, Everett, what do you say to me? He said, blah, 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 blah. Oh, God.
So most people in Hollywood in those days and in New York were nice people, but you did have the occasional glitch, like with Ed Sullivan.
Shaggy, right here, you really stunk up my show for the last two times. I'm going to give you another shot. So you're going to use me? No, I'm going to give you a shot. On Fifth Avenue, and I'm going to tell Trump to move over. Trump, can I tell you, Trump says he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. He doesn't know there's that. He better look down the street. There's other people looking at him going to shoot on Fifth Avenue.
Well, tell us, because New York City has changed quite a bit. Tell us what it was like back in the 60s and 70s.
Well, you know what? I really was naive, very naive. I wasn't like the average guy, and I there were just special places that I'd go to, and then they had all the great delicatessens, you know, and but I never went to places that just of the Star Club and all those kind of places, the 21, you know. Even when I started to make money, I never went to those places. I went to the little guy in the corner with the hot dogs, with the wagon. Could have put some onions on that. And that was my 21.
Now, what were, obviously Ed Sullivan was the big show, but what else was going on in New York in those days, the shows
you
to
know,
be?
It's strange. I'm trying to think about things I'm trying to think of the nightclub that I work at, isn't it something? But I finally got to the Copa. The Copa was the worst for me. You know, the other people loved the Copa Cabana. And they had all the big stars and everything. But they had an owner, Jules Podol, had a big ring. And when he didn't like anything, he would pound on the table while you were on. And it was like the bells of St. Mary with me. He didn't like anything, you know. So finally, when they were closing and everything, he called me. At that time, I had a little reputation. He says, hey, I need you badly. Come on and help me out. I said, do me a favor. Take that ring and hit the table.
But we, of all these people who were not fans, we do know that the mob was fans of yours.
Oh yeah, well, I had Sam J. O'Connor was like a godfather to me, and he was very good to me. I mean, you know, I worked in their places. You didn't even know that there were their places. When I came to Vegas, we had a big part of the hotels that we worked in, and one day Frank Costello, I was in New York at Kenny's Pub, eating with a girl, and they sent over a bottle of wine, and I said, I don't drink wine, but what is, they said, Mr. Costello sent it over, you know, Frank Costello. Well, that's unbelievable. You know, you tell people that story, they don't believe Frank Costello would send you a bottle of wine. He and his wife had seen me, and they liked me, so they sent me a bottle of wine. But he couldn't open it. It had no way to open the wine, so you have to send it back. He kept giving everybody a bottle of wine, but it never was opened. Saved a lot of money that way. Am I going crazy early in the morning? Hello, folks. I love you.
Now, normally at this time of the morning, what are you doing, Shecky?
I'm trying to sleep. You know, I have a lot of trouble sleeping. And it's just, I guess when you get older, the day is the night is the day, you know. Night and day, I want some sleep in my bed. Wah, 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 wah. Okay.
Now, what is a typical day like for somebody who's about to be 94?
They wait until be 95.
Oh, God.
Can I tell you something? other than the fact with the hip and everything, it's not like I don't even know about the age, 94. You know, I see other 94 guys, and it's kind of frightening, you know. And I still don't have that feeling that it's the age.
Now, how are the eyes and the ears? That seems to be a problem as people get older.
Well, my eyes are good. My ears are good. Everything is fine, you know, that way. It's just 94. What do you say? I got to go to a different doctor now because, you know, I got to go to a doctor that's 27 years old. That's a wonderful thing to tell him about your body at 94. He's 27. And he says to me, I love when they say, I know what you're talking about. Sure they do. Here's some pain. Take this.
Now, being 94, you talked about some issues with the hip. Where did the hip issues start? Where did that originate?
I don't know, but I needed the hip years ago, and a very good doctor, Barry Breaker, who is not a doctor anymore. They kicked him out, I guess, after my hip. But anyway, they operated. I had a bad hip, and everything was fine. And then eventually, you know, after time, it just goes, you know. And it's one of those things, you know, just it's like my car is going at the same time. I get in my car and I hear the noise and the wheels and everything. And then I turn off the motor. Then I shake and make noise. And then we...
That must be quite an experience.
Okay, life is an experience. You know, I just enjoy being when I love. Every Monday we have a little group that eats at one of the hotels here, and there's a lot of these. Like I have a kid with Down syndrome, Jamie. I have him every Monday. And it's such a joy for me to be with this boy that we go and we play Keno. We play two things of Keno. And then after the Keno, I take him into the horse book and we play a couple of horses for him. So even when I lose, I give him money. He thinks we've been winning for the last 3 years.
You're on a hot streak.
So he don't want anybody else but me. He says, you know, Shaky can win, and nobody else wins. He's the joy of my life, that boy.
Now, Shaky, at nearly 94, is there anybody left in the show business world still in your life?
You know, it's funny. No, they're going pretty fast. You know, I've had the last... year we had a couple, and then as we talked before about Carol Cherry, a kiss on the cheek may be quite tender, but diamonds, I miss that. And Kay Ballard, they're going one at a time, you know.
You know, we talked about this, Shaky, at, you know, I knew Kay, you knew Kay, and Kay has been gone for about a year now, but did we ever find out what happened to the British woman who lives in our house?
She's still in it.
She's still in it.
Yeah, she says, oh, darling, may I say something to you, sweetheart? I didn't even know Kay was gone. I never went into her bedroom. But she left me the keys to the wine cellar. She's a little bit of a dipso. Oh, I love the way she talks to me. Oh, darling, I was such a joy to hear from you.
Now, who was this woman, Shaky? Do we know who she is?
You know, I really never asked Kay in all the years that she's been with that woman. And then at that time, she'd get very aggravated with that woman, and she wanted, I think, to get that woman out. but the woman got her out before.
All I know is Kay was on this show for a long time, and it used to be I would call Kay directly, and Kay would answer the phone. Then all of a sudden, one day, like 6 or 7 years ago, this British woman started screening all the calls.
Yes.
And I sometimes, I don't think she ever told Kay that I called.
Well, sometimes she didn't know, you know. She said, you know, sometimes when she was like stuttering a little bit, you knew that she was in her cups. You know what I mean? You darling, you know what I mean? You know, it was the British. They're having trouble over there now, right now with those girls. Oh, my God. Harry and his wife.
Oh, what do you... I'll tell you, if you go to the grocery store, every tabloid, every magazine has got a story. Harry and Meghan are leaving the royal family. The Queen has disowned them, taken away their titles. Hey, the Queen is your age, Shecky.
Exactly. Same month. If she I send her cards every birthday.
Do you? You and the Queen?
Can I tell you something? I love the Queen, you know what I mean? I like her. Oh, let's all sing for the Queen. She's a... Okay.
Now, a lot of people think she's a little rough. What's your take on the Queen?
The Queen rough?
Yeah, she's a little rough that she now has stripped Harry and Meghan of their titles.
No, she didn't do that. They misunderstand that. They did that. They're the ones that want that. I mean... The poor Queen is going to be 94 also. What do they want from her?
Well, what do you make of her, 60-year reign now? More than 60 years?
Yeah, she's something, you know. And her father stuttered, you know. The father would have been said, she takes after me.
Do you think Charles is ever going to get to be king the way that the Queen's hanging on?
Well, Charles, not only that, but Charles has got that Camilla, you know?
Yeah.
Who just, I mean, compared to Diana, of course, Diana and Charles never belonged together. But Camilla, compared to Diana, Camilla doesn't look like queen stuff.
She can't be the... What would she... Because she wouldn't be the queen because...
No.
She'd be the duchess, wouldn't she, duchess?
Yeah, the duchess. But you know something? She would take over. She looks more like the maid than that kind of lady, you know.
Do you?
Charles would say, "Go get a mop and do that over there in the corner, Camilla."
Well, do you think that maybe?
How about those heavy accents? Imagine walking around in those places. Whatever they are.
Well, I was just thinking, if they need any help over there, because now Harry and Meghan have left, maybe they can get that woman who lives in Kay Ballard's house to come over and help them with some things.
No, I think she's entrenched in that house. You're not going to get her out of there, you know.
And that was, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that Desi Arnaz's original house?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Now...
I'm going to give you another yes, because I give four yeses. That was Desi Arnaz's house.
Now, isn't it... How do you think Desi
Arnaz... You've got to have an accent to live in that house.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, how do you think that Desi Arnaz feels now? I mean, he's been gone for quite some time, but here this Latin heartthrob, that now his house is inhibited by some British woman.
I want to tell you something. Hey, Lucy, I want to tell you this. I sold the house to Quebert. 50 maravos en el cantuado. La hacienda Malotores. La catoda mala catalosa. La. Can I tell you something? That when he and Lucy were married, they were at Del Mar, and they had a place next to a fellow by the name of Hirsch, Clement Hirsch. and he liked Clement Hurst's wife. So Desi, from what his window to the window of the house next, he was calling in. They called him. He was going to get this woman, Edie. Her name was Edie Hirsch.
Ooh.
So Desi was going to... They caught him climbing into the window.
Now, how did Lucy let all this go on?
No, she's tough. She was tough. You know, I loved her, but she was tough.
Now, when you say
she
tough...
She wanted me for a show so badly, and I wouldn't do it. She said, "You're frightened to death, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes," and that was the end of that.
Oh, didn't she wanted you to do a show with her?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, I was going to play a fighter with her at the one at the flower shop.
Oh, she wanted to create a show for you.
No, this was on her show that she was going to do it. Then she made me. I had to go back into fighting to win the thing, and then I bought the flower shop.
Oh, now was this toward the beginning of her career or the end?
No, that was when she was married to Gary after Desi. No, that was the middle.
That was the middle. So who did this show ever end up coming off? Did they get somebody to play the flower shop fighter?
I really never knew. I don't think she ever talked to me again.
Oh, there was a problem.
Well, she wanted me to do it, you know, and I just didn't do it. At that time, I was frightened of everything. I have a weird personality because I was I grew up. Because of my mother that was frightened of everything, we became frightened of everything. You know, success. Will success spoil Rock Hunter?
Now, Lucy's an interesting character. Now, how did you first run into Lucy?
I really don't remember. It was years and years ago. Then she came to see me work. And then... I don't know. She'd like to come to see me work. And she was... I really didn't get to the second step of our relationship. It was just, hi, Lucy, boom, 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 you know. But she was, you know, a bright, brilliant woman. From the beginning of her career, because I remember her career when she was like one of the... What the hell is... The name of the studio. Metro Girls.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Metro Girls or the Metro.
It was. I forget what studio she worked for, but I know what you're talking about.
Metro Goldwyn. Yeah, she was a Goldwyn, like a Goldwyn girl when she first came on.
Now,
not too much talking, you know, but little by little, you sort of. The growth of, but Desi is really the one that made that situation between the two of them. Desi's one that went over and bought Universal. You know.
Well, that's right, and he was brilliant, a brilliant businessman, from what we understand.
Yeah, well, he came from a very wealthy family in Cuba.
We just understand he had his little picadillos on the side.
Well, yeah, if there was a window. he wouldn't go through the door. He loved to climb through windows. Where is Desi right now? He's on the 23rd floor getting into that.
Oh, man. Oh, you know, yesterday was news. Kirk Douglas passed away at 103.
Oh, my God. The last time I was with Kirk Douglas, he was the king in New Orleans in the parade, and I was in the same thing with him. And the gas and the exhaust was hitting me and killing me, and he's throwing out these things at the New Orleans at the Mardi Gras. And he was quite a guy.
So there is hope, though, Shecky, at 93. He lived to 103.
103?
103 when he died yesterday.
Oh, I don't know. Can I tell you something? Please, God, don't let me be in that condition.
Oh, it wasn't good.
No, he really suffered. The last couple of years, he suffered. So, and then he had a stroke and all of that. You know, you don't want to say that. You know, when you admire and love those kind of people, you don't want to see that happen to them.
Now, I believe his wife is still around of something like 80 years or something like that.
She's a French lady. That's not, what's his name? Michael's mother was an actress. And, but this lady, this is not Michael's mother.
Oh, this woman who's, so he probably hasn't been married to her 80 years then.
Yeah, it could be.
How old's Michael? Michael's like 60, 70, isn't that right?
Yes.
So.
No, I don't think he's been married to her 80 years.
A long time, though.
Yeah, just long enough for him to learn French. Chez les rangs et les ponqueurs, Romain de les rampes, c'est non, monsieur, mais leur voyage. Your lips came me, no, no.
And of course, one of our favorite reminiscences on this show is that we found out along the way that Hervé Villechaize from Fantasy Island was actually French.
Yeah, and I thought he was Latin all that time. Hey, could I tell you, to me, he couldn't be anything. I mean, he was the kind of thing when you're at a table and you see a crumb, you flick it. He was the kind of guy you want to go over and flick.
Oh, God.
What is it, Irving? I just flicked him off the table. That's a good one. How is that guy? Did you like that guy? Only was a flicker. I just.
Now he was a little bit of a temperamental Frenchman. Is
oh God! I want to tell you something. I don't like you. I don't care what you say. I don't like you. You are trying to make love to my wife. I'm not making love to your wife. I don't even know your wife. Oh, would you like to meet her?
But he was a heck of an actor, wasn't he, in that Fantasy Island?
Oh, no. That was the big thing. After he said, boss, the plane board, that it was all over with, you know.
You were on Fantasy Island. Do you remember what your part was, what you were playing?
I played the part of a scoundrel. I used an English accent. I had a daughter, and I was selling property. Phony property, like an island or something, and I wanted to sell to him. Take a look at who they put me with.
So you were selling, you were trying to scam Hervé Villechaize.
I suggest, can I tell you, sir, this property is because you have your own island. You know what I mean?
And did you hoodwink Hervé? Do you remember how this all played out?
I hoodwinked, and then they said that I forgot how the ending was. Well, I know the ending. Irving wanted to shoot me. That was the ending. Really, I mean, not in the script.
Well, for people who haven't heard it, it is the funniest story in talk show history. Give it to us one more, because it's hilarious. You're going to guest star on Fantasy Island with Hervé Villechaize and Ricardo Montalban, a hot show at the time, and for some reason you're late.
I'm late. And he came up, they're all waiting on the set, and he says, I want to tell you something, I don't know who you are, but you won the show. You know that? And he told me, and did you get that? I said, oh my God. And Ricardo says, Jackie, don't worry. You know, he gets a little excited. Don't worry about a thing. You know, and who happened to be one of the nice people in the world, Ricardo. So then I was sitting, and his wife came up to me. They just got married, and a lovely lady. And she says, would you like some coffee? I says, I'd love some. He says, I want to tell you something. You don't talk to my wife. I don't want you to talk to my wife, all right? Okay. Then he says, you know, I shoot people, and he did. He had a gun that was bigger than him.
Oh, God.
And they ended up committing suicide with that guy. He had nobody around to shoot. He looked around, there was nobody, so he shot himself.
Oh, no. Oh, poor Hervé.
I went to tell you something. This is a 32. I'm on the night early near the 29.
Oh, God.
My God. When you put all of these stories together.
That's one of the great show business stories of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he was unbelievable. And Ricardo was the best in the world. He just stood it, took it, you know, he'd get back, they'd let him go.
It's fascinating that this man could have run roughshod this little Hervé Villechaize. That's the only show he was ever on, but he just... Do you think he was an egomaniac? Do you think the...
Oh, I do. I mean, when there's somebody that small, you could... If a decoration on top of a cake becomes a star in a television show. whoever figured... And they let him go, you know. They just took it for granted that his personality... They let him go. And I think near the end, they had him. They couldn't take it anymore.
Now, you know, I was listening to a conversation that we had not too long ago, because we've talked a lot about Ed Sullivan, and every time you were on the show, he told you you stunk. Now, was there ever a time, ever, in your any appearance there, any time going down to the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, where he was... Even tempered, not even a well mood, but an even temper.
But did you want to know something? Like after a while, it became funny with me because that stuff didn't mean anything to me. You know, people said, "Boy, you're on the Ed Sullivan Show." That didn't mean diddly got over the punch out to me. It was just enjoyable because he was so big at that time. You know, that was one of the biggest shows on the air. And you just, if you had humor, you'd look at who it was. This is a sports writer that became in show business with all of these big, big stars. Right here, I'm going to have Kate Smith is going to sing for you to God Bless America. And that was written by they would give all of that didn't mean anything. Written by Irving Berlin, I think. I saw Irving one day, and Irving told me it went on, didn't mean anything.
Shaky.
But so that this was humor because it went, you know, because he wanted the show.
Because that
did mean something.
Because Ed Sullivan is now, his shows are replaying on one of these channels. So this is interesting.
You're kidding.
No, it is. It's I think it's the Decades channel or something like that. They're replaying them every night.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'll have to let you know what channel that is. But the thing about
the,
it is...
The Return of Ed. It's called... Ed was the horse was Ed, right?
That's right. Ed and the horse. But for people who are only watching this now, you're one of the few who actually work the show, and this is a behind-the-scenes thing. Now, take me through, you would arrive at the Ed Sullivan Theater through the time you left. How did that transpire? What happened?
Well, you know, some things that were bad were out of my mind, so... I would get to go to the theater, you know, and he would give the instructions, and then the Marlo, whatever his name was, the producer, they would tell you you're doing 11 minutes, cut it down to 10. And, I mean, just to say something, you know, Shaky, I want you to go out there and really do a good job, cut your act down to 2 minutes. Ed, it takes me that long to walk to the stage. That's all. You walk fancy and look good, and that'll be fine. You're up. Here's a man that didn't show, but I didn't know that kind of performance, but he would tell you what to do. Go to figure that out. He was a producer.
Now, what sort of direction did he give you over the years?
Be good.
And you would go out, and you would perform.
He says, so far, you've done my show 10 times, and you've stunk 10 times. I says, why don't you just stop using me? You know? He said, I never thought of that.
So was he waiting in the wings when you walked off, or was this something
he... Well, he didn't quite walk into the wings. He would walk to the side, and you would see him out of the corner of your eye while you're working. That was another thing.
Well, what was he looking like as you're watching him out of the corner of your eye?
Well, you know, he was a little hunchback. You know, he was a little hunchback with the way he walked. And then he put his hands together. It was funny. Then he used Jackie Mason's hands.
So then it was over, and he would walk over to you, and he would say what when it was over?
No, he really, you know, it was bad. He just let you alone, except one time when I said about his anniversary show, and I said, that fellow's been on 11 years, and there's a reason why he doesn't sing, he doesn't dance, he doesn't tell jokes. There's nothing to hate, you know?
And he met you after that one.
And he waited for me. Chicken, I've got more talent in my little finger than anybody I've ever had on a show. I said, you have talent? Oh, my goodness. I was doing Hugh Herbert. Oh, my goodness gracious. Are you crazy? It was either Ed Wynn or Hugh Herbert. Pick them out.
Oh, was he able to take that okay when you questioned his talent?
No, but near the end, he and I became very close.
You started having soup together.
Yeah, when he was going downhill, she was gone. He thought Sylvia was still alive. And it was very sad.
Well, Shecky, our time goes by so fast always. I know we'll have you back very soon because it's always a pleasure.
Time goes by so slowly, and I waited for your call a long time ago. Ohio, I love you. Okay.
And we love you, Shecky Grebe. We'll talk soon, Shecky. Stay well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The legendary Shecky Green, without question. Charlie Evers with lots of great giveaways is coming up right after this short but important news break.
3:15, we take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Whitaker is the pastor at a Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street.